This is Gino the announcer, and you are listening to the Barbell Program Podcast with Peter and Alex. The bar is loaded.
Ich halt da.
Interview dich.
Nein.
Okay.
Warum nicht? Alexander, wo sind wir?
Die meisten werden sich fragen, wo sind wir und warum filmen wir runter? Der Grund ist der, weil wir am Flughafen in Luxemburg sitzen. Es gibt hier keinen Tisch und keine Möglichkeit, das Handy hinzustellen.
Null.
Und somit haben wir es einfach um den Boden gelegt und sitzen halt da.
Und schauen du dein Knie runter. Absichtlich auch, ne?
Nein, ich versuche es rauszuhalten.
Mach uns das einmal um.
Ich habe mein Unterschenkel ist leider, mein Oberschenkel ist leider so lang, dass es noch vorne drüber steht.
Ist gut fürs Kniebein, oder?
Extrem gut fürs Kniebein. Lange Oberschenkel hilft enorm.
Oh, ja,
okay. Jetzt nur keine Sorge, wir werden den Podcast jetzt nicht eine Dreiviertelstunde so halten, aber wir müssen ein Intro-Video machen für das, was danach kommt. Das heißt, bitte bleibt auf jeden Fall dran. Nämlich, wir haben wen interviewt im eigentlich fast im Aufwärmraum,
ja,
zur Bankdruckmeisterschaft in Luxemburg.
Das stimmt, den Karl Ingvar Christensen, seines Zeichens. Ich muss mir da einen kleinen Schummelzettel holen, weil, also wer den Karl Ingvar Christensen nicht kennt, eine Equipped-Legende in der 120 Kilo Plus-Klasse, hat seine Bestleistung mit 1230 Kilo total, war Zweiter bei den World Games und Vierter bei den World Games noch als Junior auch einmal, also zweimal bei den World Games. Und da haben wir das Glück gehabt, oder der hat uns die Ehre gegeben.
Weltmeister natürlich auch.
Weltmeister.
Weltrekordhalter.
Ja. Also nur ganz kurz einmal 2014 das letzte Mal Weltmeister gewonnen, 2014 das letzte Mal Europameister gewonnen, bevor er sich zur Ruhe gesetzt hat quasi in dem Sport. Und hat uns die Ehre gegeben. Der war nämlich bei der Europameisterschaft im Bankdrücken in Hamm, wo wir jetzt waren, Kampfrichter.
Richtig, wir haben, der Peter hat ihn Gott sei Dank erkannt, weil er hat jetzt nicht mehr 180 Kilo, sondern nur mehr unter Anfang gesagt 115 Kilo. Ja. Und hat uns halt erzählt, auf der einen Seite, wie er trainiert hat.
Ja.
Und das wird jetzt dann gleich kommen. Und auf der anderen Seite, dass er jetzt nicht mehr trainiert wegen Knieproblemen, die er sich aber, wie wir herausgefunden hat,
vorher zugezogen
hat, und zwar beim Snowboarden.
Ja.
Und das natürlich dann irgendwann im Kraft-3-Kampf einmal akut geworden ist.
Das stimmt. Also hat er in seiner Primetime 2014 168 Kilo. Also wenn ihr den vielleicht googelt, schaut ein bisschen anders aus, als er jetzt bei uns auf dem Video ausschaut.
Richtig.
Schaut extrem gut aus.
Ja, glaube ich, groß,
geht ihm auch
vor allem. Ja.
Sehr groß.
Ja.
Glaube ich, geht ihm auch ganz gut damit,
ich glaub,
jetzt.
Ja.
Ja. Super interessant eigentlich auch, weil er bisher auch gesprochen hat, weil er im norwegischen Verband auch einige Tätigkeiten übernimmt. Und insofern eine super Möglichkeit, und wir haben uns extrem gefreut, dass uns da die Möglichkeit gegeben hat, dass wir mal ein paar Fragen stellen können. Er hat uns auch versprochen, dass er ins Gym kommt einmal zu uns, oder?
Absolut, wer freut sich, dass er im Gym eigentlich oben hängt.
Ja, das stimmt.
Nämlich,
ein Bild
man,
von ihm.
Ja, wenn man auf dem Grünstreifen steht und man schaut zum Ausgang vom Gym hin.
Relativ links
oben, ja, ist der Karl Ingvar Christensen. Ja, wie er gerade noch, glaube ich, 490 Kilo schreit.
Ja, 490.
Also er hat 490 Kilo gebeugt.
In Lichtgeschwindigkeit eigentlich, kann
absolut,
man sagen.
Absolut, er hat 390 Kilo Kreuz gehoben.
Ja,
und
auch
er
schnell.
Hat, ja, noch einmal nicht fest, aber 345 oder so irgendwas.
Warte, das möchte ich kurz
schauen. Schauen wir mal, was er Bank gedrückt hat.
Aber auf jeden Fall, auch die 490 waren jetzt insofern eher, dass ihm, glaube ich, der Dietmar Wolf nicht auf 500 gehen hat lassen.
Ja. Ich glaube, Raw hat er auch 260 gedrückt.
262 Raw und 350 mit Shirt.
Ja, also 262 Raw ist auch Wahnsinn.
350 ist schon eine Nummer.
Ja.
Alex, jetzt haben wir 4 Minuten, 2, 3 Worte über die Europameisterschaft, Bankdrücken. Nicht wirklich ein Recap, aber wie war es für dich?
Also aus meiner Sicht zuerst sehr nervös, jetzt sehr freudig, weil die Martina 100 Kilo gedrückt hat.
Das stimmt.
Erst einmal dreistellig,
stimmt,
mit Luft nach oben.
Ja.
Eigentlich den österreichischen Rekord eingestellt.
Eingestellt, das stimmt.
Und sie hat vor, den zu zerschmettern.
Das
und drei gültige Versuche, 5. In der Gewichtsklasse, super geil. Also
der Rest auch sehr stark, ein Vize-Europameister, ja. Europameister bei den Masters.
Ja, richtig, wir haben einen Europameister bei den Masters, einen Vize-Europameister bei den Masters.
Bandea, super stark, mit einem PR geöffnet.
Genau, enorm stark im Bankdrücker, leider zwar ungültige, weil es in den Hintern gekommen hat. Richtig.
Das Bob-Show.
Das kriegt zwar sicher hin, auf der Rohkraft der Ihre, die Dame.
Sehr stark.
Der
sehr,
sportwissenschaftliche sehr stark. Ausdruck Rohkraft. Dann der Jürgen Graushofer, der vis-à-vis von uns sitzt, das könnt ihr jetzt nicht zeigen, das ist dort, ja, also,
ja, da, so circa.
Da sind die Gates, so muss ich sagen, da sind ein paar Geschäftel und da sitzt der Jürgen Graushofer und die Martina, das ist so.
Stimmt, aber die arbeitet schon wieder, ne?
Richtig, also Martina arbeitet.
Check-ins, ne? Die macht Menschen schöner, dünner, richtig, stärker, schwerer, alles.
Und der Jürgen hat auch einen Competition-PR aufgestellt, also International Competition PA, der hat erstens einmal in Österreich einen Rekord, natürlich im Bankdrücken in der 83 Kilo Klasse mit 183 Kilo,
genau.
Das passt ganz gut.
Den hätte man fast eingestampft.
Richtig, heute. Mit 185 Kilo hätte er ein bisschen schnell runtergegangen, die Spur verloren und das war's dann.
Jürgen hat sich gedacht, heute probiert er das einmal, ja. Jetzt weiß es gar nicht so leiwand, also in Zukunft
wird es wieder kontrolliert. Und der Kana Markus, das haben wir nicht vergessen, unser schwerster Dampflok. Absolut, hat die Bank fast ausgerissen, bevor er angefangen hat. Hat natürlich dann jetzt geschaut, also wie soll man sagen, eigentlich haben die Kampfrichter mehr geschaut als er. Und hat dann im Endeffekt 220 gedrückt, muss man sagen, er hat fast 227 gedrückt. Und da war er Fünfter geworden.
Man muss dazu sagen, 220 war, wie die jungen Leute heutzutage sagen, RP at 8 oder so.
Also der so war ungefähr, 220 war relativ leicht. 227 war misgrooved.
Stimmt. Nein, aber das war halt die Steigerung insofern, ja. um halt deutlich weiter vorn platziert zu sein. Ja, genau. Das war halt einfach an dem Tag, wo es Bangli nicht gut angeschraubt oder so, glaube ich. Also,
war es wirklich nicht ausgerissen?
Ja, das Bangli ausgerissen.
Ja. Die Kampfrichter waren sich nicht ganz sicher, was sie jetzt machen sollen, haben sie nichts gemacht.
Okay. Ja. Alexander, du verlässt mich jetzt. Ich meine, der Martina wird es auch stören, aber mich verlässt du jetzt eine Zeit lang.
Ja, ich bin jetzt miteinander gemeinsam 3 Wochen leider in den USA. Ja. Oder leider, Gott sei Dank, für andere. Leider für unterschiedliche andere Tätigkeiten, wie zum Beispiel Podcast aufnehmen.
Das stimmt.
Oder mit der Martina schmusen.
Das stimmt, ja.
Und
beide Dinge kann ich in der Zwischenzeit übernehmen, wenn es ist.
Das solltest du auch bitte. Und bin aber am 30. wieder da, damit ich dich am 31. bei Niederösterreich Cup in Haaland, was ich weiß, betreuen darf.
Oh, das stimmt, ja.
Auf das freue ich mich schon sehr.
Ich wäre fast nervös, wenn das jetzt publik wird.
Ja. Nein, jetzt weiß jeder. Aber der Bundestrainer geht am 31.08. in Haaland drauf.
Drauf, ja. Kann in beide Richtungen passieren.
Er ist schon mal draufgegangen, in die falsche Richtung beim Bankdrucker. Das wird nicht mehr passieren.
Das stimmt.
Jetzt geht er richtig drauf, ja.
Ja.
Also auf positiv. Ja, und dann bist du dorthin. Vielleicht hast du einen Podcast dann cool mit irgendjemand.
Glaube nicht, aber
sonst wollen wir dann noch einmal wieder heimkommen.
Aber vielleicht, weil das Video kommt da sicher vorher raus, zahlt sich's aus auf jeden Fall, die es noch nicht tun, den Andi auf Instagram zu folgen und auch den YouTube-Kanal von Intelligent Strengths zu abonnieren, weil ich glaube, ihr werdet einige Dinge rausbringen und habt euch einiges vorgenommen.
Richtig, ich habe ja den Zugang jetzt zum Instagram-Account und kann alles aufnehmen, was ich nur will.
Das heißt, wer sich jetzt denkt, okay, Andis Instagram-Story war bis jetzt okay, aber jetzt die letzten 2-3 Tage ein Wahnsinn.
Dann war ich daran schuld, unter Anführungszeichen, dass es so geil geworden ist. Und ein bisschen kraftlastiger.
Das heißt, die Überleitung jetzt
zum Karl Ingwer. Karl Ingwer hat keinen Instagram-Account.
Das freut mich sehr.
Und das würde ich sagen, weil er meint, generell glaube ich, er unterscheidet im Training, wahrscheinlich im Leben genauso, zwischen mein Training, das ist alles, was mit Kraft zu tun hat, und Boy-Training, das ist alles, glaube ich, über 5 Wiederholungen, a little bit biceps and chest. Also, versucht lieber ein bisschen Main-Training zu machen, wie es der Karl sagt, und ein bisschen weniger Ball-Training.
Genau, also darum, wir entschuldigen uns vielleicht leicht für die Qualität, die es dort hat im Aufwärmraum, aber wir haben einen russischen Masters.
Ukrainer, glaube ich.
Ukrainer, stimmt, ein Ukrainer dazwischen reingeht, der Krebsherbert kommt rein. Es kommen ein paar wegen Versuchskartel.
Also die Mikrofone in meinem Board und auf den Krawatten sind anscheinend nicht aufgefallen.
Aber ja, einerseits das, aber andererseits an World Games zweiten und ehemaligen Weltrekordhalter hat man halt nicht jedes Mal.
Schau, da fliegt genau da fliegen heute.
Super, jetzt ist es bei mir.
Na gut. Na dann viel Spaß mit Karl.
Dere.
Bis bald.
So, Peter.
Alex.
I'm very proud to introduce our new guest today.
And the first world champion we have.
And the first world champion we have right here.
Podcast,
yeah. And world record holder.
And still world record holder.
Yes, 6 times, I think.
So, Mr. King Karl, would you like to introduce yourself a bit, just a short?
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Karl Ingvar Christensen from Norway. I was a powerlifter once. I retired 5 years ago due to injury, but now here I am on podcast with Austrian boys.
Yeah.
This is you?
Now some guys are...
Yeah, wow, yeah. Cool.
Still an awesome beer.
6 months ago.
He's training for Ukrainian Master Championship
in
1 month. So he's been training now for at least 3 hours, I think.
You can still see that.
As you can see, we are just in the, how can I say that, warm-up training area here at the European Bench Press Championship.
Yes.
And we are meeting a lot of great guys.
A lot of great guys.
Yeah. But perhaps you can tell our audience what's very interesting is how your training philosophy was. How did you train? Because
probably how you got into powerlifting.
Yes, how you got into powerlifting. Okay. And stuff like this.
Well, I started training with my father's equipment. He had just an old Weider bench press in our basement that he used a little bit. He didn't train much, but just like normal many dads do. And then at around, I think it was maybe 12, 13 years old, I started to train a little bit on his bench, just bench press and biceps and the normal young man stuff. And I did that for a couple of years and got more and more interested in muscles and saw some pictures of big, strong people and thought that was cool. Gradually, I got more and more into it, and when I was 17 years old, I joined a local powerlifting club near my hometown. And after that, they took very good care of me when I went there, and I felt it the very good environment and the very good friendship in the club. And that combined with the interest for muscles and strength made me want to do more, lift more, yeah.
That's great. And when was your first, how did you get in the national team? How old were you?
Well, okay, so I did my first powerlifting meet in 2007, in the end of 2007, I think. That was the first meet, just a local club meet.
How old are you now? Sorry for
disturbing you. I am 29 years old now, so I was 17 in my first local club competition. And then the following year, 2008, I just did some more competitions, some national championship that year, and gained a lot of on my total. And the next year, 2009, I think this is a long time ago, so maybe I'm wrong now, but I think 2009 was the first year I was on the junior national team and did a couple junior European championship and junior world championship. Yeah.
Okay,
I think.
But you were still junior when you were in the World Games. Oh, your first World Games?
Yes, that's correct. 2013 was my last year as a junior.
And you got fourth place?
No, I got third place.
Third place, sorry.
World Games, yeah. But that was a very bad competition for me. Just a bad day. Dehydrated and hurt my back a little bit, so it was not a good day. But anyway, I'm happy with third place in World Games.
As a junior?
Yeah, that's a junior.
And your second, because I don't know if everybody who's listening to the podcast is knowing that you still got the world record in total?
No, I lost the world record to Blaine Sumner.
Ah, okay. Because I looked it up on Goodlift today. Yeah. And there is still your squat world record at the total world
So Sasha has not updated his season. That's fine.
No, it's just a few kilos under the actual world record.
Oh, well, Blaine did an amazing total of 1271.5 or something in Arnold's a couple of years ago. So he beat my world record at 41 kilos. And also the squat here, I think, has done 505. So he beat me with 40 in the total and 15 in the squat. But I still have the European record in total and squat, and, I think, and some junior world records I still have.
Yeah.
But, of course, world records are fun, but there will always be new lifters coming. So it's history is history and present is present. Yeah. So it's not so important.
Yeah, but anyway, you get a great history as an athlete. Alex?
Yeah, what is your training like? For example, normally you are known for this high frequency, Norwegian powerlifting project stuff.
And yeah, yeah.
Was this the thing you always trained like that? Or did you start, when you started to do that, did your total increase?
The first years before 2007, I trained first just like every boy do, only chest and biceps, and then I started to get a little more
manly.
Yeah, Monday. but also I got a little bit more knowledge about training and start to professionalize my own training a little bit. But then after 2007, when I joined the club, I got a trainer there. The junior national team trainer started to train me, and then it increased the frequency, as you say, into typical Norwegian Dietmar training. And after after 2007, I trained like typical Norwegian powerlifting training, which is, as you say, pretty high frequency. But there are many lifters that trained with more frequency and more volume than me, because I was a heavyweight, a super heavyweight, and then you cannot train that much as a lighter lifter. So there are many people that trained a lot more than me. But yes, I had what you would say is a high frequency.
And normally, I know some heavyweights that only train, for example, the squat once a week.
Yeah, there are many philosophies, and there are many ways to get strong. And we see that some people train only, as you say, one lift one time per week. Some do it 5-6 times per week. And there are world championships in each from each type of training. So it seems that everything works. But I must say that the high frequency, as we call it, is I have very strong belief in that. And that's good to keep the weights a little bit lower.
Yes.
And to have higher frequency for example, for injuries, I think that's better.
So you did know, for example, max out or something like that?
Sorry, what?
So you did know maxing out on the weight, so you did know
very rarely. And not only rarely, but never. For example, my highest squat is in competition is 490 kilos, and my highest squat in training, I think, is 465, so it's 25 below the max.
Okay.
And also deadlift was very low in training compared to the maximum in competition. But bench press, I trained a little bit closer to max, because the bench and upper body has a quicker recovery than the deadlift and the back and the legs. Yeah.
I once talked to Dietmar, and he told me that you also trained, because usually you were an equipped lifter.
Yep.
Yeah, and you also trained your raw lifts pretty high before you went into gear.
Yeah, well, at the training when we were going to lift with gear, we went pretty high with raw before putting on the gear. Yeah, that's correct.
Can you tell me what your best raw bench was?
My best raw bench is only in training, not in competition. It's only in training, so I've never done it in competition. But I've done in training 262.5 with a pretty clean lift. Of course, always when in training, when you think your stop is long, it's shorter than you think. But I took video of it, and it was a pretty good lift. I think it could pass in competition.
262, which is just a bit under the world record.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, now the world record is
545.
No. In 262 bench press. Raw, now it's 285. Thomas did it now with 300, but at this time it was about 280 or stuff like that.
Yeah, this time there was no classic, there was no raw.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. When you started to do powerlifting, you started right in the gear?
My first competition was only with knee wraps only, but after that I only done geared competition.
So there was pretty much no raw powerlifting in
Norway. In 2007-08, I don't even... When was IPF held their first, not championship, but World Cup in 2012 in Sweden? Yeah. That was the first time. So.
If there was, for example, raw lifting in your days, would it have been interesting for you?
It would have been, and it still is very interesting with raw lifting. But as we said, when I was lifting, there was none. It came gradually in 2012. But at that time, I had so much to do with equipment.
Yes.
It was the European Championship and the World Championship. It was the two main goals of a season, and also Norwegian Championship between. So it was not time. But if I had time and if my knees were okay, I would have been interested in raw lifting for sure.
How are your knees today?
No, they are not good, and that's also why I am retired.
Oh, okay.
Big problems with my knees. It's not working well.
So, probably some viewers or listeners are looking pictures up of you.
Yep.
They probably find some different pictures of you.
Who is this?
So, who is this? Of course, the knee problems are the reason for that.
Yep.
So, how was your journey down? What's your weight right now?
Now I am about 100 and between 150 and 120.
Okay.
So, but I got big injury in 2014. So, and then I tried for two and a half years to come back and trying to train around the injury, but it didn't work. So then I decided to retire and drop weight because there's no point being that heavy when you're not, it's not for lifting anymore. So I went down in 5 months. I lost at the most 68 kilos of body weight. But now I'm a little bit up from what I was when I was.
Okay.
It was very, very easy losing weight for me because, but from the start I was not big.
Yeah.
I was small.
Really?
From the start. I was always tall but skinny. So, of course, being what I was close to 170 kilo, but I had to force myself to eat.
Okay.
When I could just stop that, the weight just
dropped.
Yeah, no problem. Much easier to drop weight than to keep the weight up for me.
For you.
Yeah, but the people are different and some are big from before and then it may be harder, but for me it was very easy.
Okay, what does your training look like today?
I try to train as good as I can, but the knees are a big
issue.
But I do train the power lifts, three lifts every week, and I do my best, but it's not much. So it's more just like pumping and keeping
a little bit bodybuilding.
Yeah, you can call it bodybuilding training. It's more that.
Boy training,
yeah. Boy training. Yes, back to boy training.
But you did enough men training. So.
Yeah.
But are you able to squat down?
I am able to squat, but only with around 150, 170.
Yes.
That's all I can manage now, both due to pain, but also due to strength. The strength is not better at the moment, unfortunately.
Excuse me,
but
you forget to give a ticket for my...
No, I gave it with your...
Yes, not for me, for my...
Okay, I will bring it. Is he lifting with you?
Yes.
Okay, I will bring it soon.
Okay.
10 minutes, I will bring
10
it.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Thank
you. Now, as everybody heard, you're ref at the European, referee at the European Championships.
Yep.
How did that come? Was it always?
I was a referee in Norway, national referee, for a few years. And then in 2017, I took the exam for category 2 referee, international referee. I like to referee. I like to, when I'm not lifting anymore, I like to still be in the sport because I love powerlifting, and refereeing is a great way to still be in the sport.
Is it hard for you? Because I know... Alex used to compete till last year, and he also got injured a bit and stuff like that. And I know him super well, and I know it's hard for him to watch powerlifting competitions. How do you feel when you see, it's bench only, so it's not a sport.
No, bench is cool, but I miss powerlifting. I miss training hard for something. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not just like now when I'm just training to keep in shape. I miss training for a competition to set yourself a goal. And then also the competition is very fun to challenge against others. So I miss that very much. But I also, at center, enjoy very much being a referee, being a coach, being part of the game still as much as I can. It's a good compensation for not lifting yourself.
Yeah. And it's good to give something back to the sport that you still love.
Yeah, that's also great to contribute to it. And I contribute in many ways now when I'm not lifting myself anymore. I am the leader or president in my local club, and I am vice president in the national federation, and also as a referee, so I'm very active in powerlifting.
Probably it's a personal question, but do you make a living out of powerlifting or coaching, or?
No, and I never did, and never made a single dollar from lifting. No,
okay.
it was always been a hobby, and it still only is a hobby, so it's just for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So you work? Do you have a normal?
I have a normal
nine to five job.
9 to 5 day job. Yes, I am a building maintenance guy in my local hometown. We have buildings that we rent out, offices,
shopping mall.
Yeah, some small mall, not a big mall, but small mall, and apartments, etc. That we rent out.
Okay.
So, just like a janitor or whatever.
I always think it's not that bad if you have some different stuff too. I mean, for me, now I'm full-time into training and powerlifting, but I used to be a teacher for 9 years. And it helped us when I was competing, it helped to be a little bit away from all this fighting up and, you know.
I agree with you.
The
day is long, and if you are going to think about training and powerlifting the whole day, it's not healthy mentally, so it's very good to have something else occupying.
Actually, that's true.
Yes,
one third of the day,
Small children helps.
Help. Teacher.
Okay, so we don't want to disturb you any longer because you have a lot to do, and we really appreciate that you find the time in between weigh-in, equipment check, and your, you know, functions a head charge, that you can talk to us for 20 minutes, and as everybody could see, you are needed.
And so
thank you very much. You're always welcome in Vienna.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You have to visit us.
I will, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.